And we're turning our attention north. Toronto-based Aquila Resources plans to mine gold, zinc, and other metals in Michigan upstream from the Menominee River. So far, the mining company has been able to obtain nearly all the permits needed to move forward. As the project nears final approval stage, Danielle Kading reports on the tension it's creating among residents along the Michigan-Wisconsin border.
On this Friday evening, cars honk in support of protesters who stand on a street corner in Menominee, just across the border from Marinette. Dale Burry of McAllister, Wisconsin, is among them. He's president of the newly formed Coalition to Save the Menominee River. Burry says the Back 40 mine poses too great a threat to the region's economy, environment, and public health.
My land is 228 feet from the Menominee River, and so we would definitely be affected.
Tina L'Esperance of Stevenson, Michigan, stands nearby in an outfit resembling the Grim Reaper. She's holding a sign that says cyanide kills. The chemical is used in a diluted form to extract gold from ore as part of the mining process. L'Esperance says that's just one reason she opposes the project.
I'm very fearful that the Menominee River will be poisoned with acid mine drainage, which is actually sulfuric acid. It'll kill the fish, it'll kill the birds, anything that comes in contact with it.
Protests like this one have been held outside the Ogden Club in Menominee since the spring. L'Esperance says they gather here because of the club's ties to the mine.
The people that own the Ogden Club are investors of the mine, and there were also employees that worked for Aquila. So we want to bring awareness to people that this business is behind the mine.
Inside, customers chat over drinks and food. Ogden Club co-owner Robin Quigley recently retired as a spokeswoman for the mining company. She declined to comment on the protests. Quigley says she and her husband Tom own a fraction of the company's shares and have leased space to Aquila for meetings about the project. Waitress Jennifer Dulick says the controversy around the mine has ruined a lot of friendships.
I have a lot of friends that are protesting right outside here while I'm trying to work and make money and support my family, and it sucks, I guess.
Dulick says she made roughly $700 a week in tips last year. Now she says she's lucky if she can make half that.
We've had a few employees like walking down the street, coming to work, wearing our Ogden Club shirts and yelling stuff at us. No Back 40 mine, and just kind of being rude.
Several customers at the Ogden Club say they would support the mine if it can be built without harming the environment and public health. They say the project would create hundreds of mining jobs, millions in tax revenues, and help stem the region's population loss. But the mine is so controversial here that supporters declined to speak on tape. Aquila Resources spokeswoman Shantae Lassard understands their silence.
They don't want their businesses, for example, to be protested at. I think that once we get all of our permits, you will see a lot more visual support for the project. But right now, people just want to stay private. They don't want the attention that this project brings from those who oppose mining.
The company just resubmitted its application for a wetlands permit to Michigan regulators. Aquila's Lassard says they hope a final permit will be issued to them in January. But protesters like Tina L'Esperance hope Michigan's Department of Environmental Quality will reject it.
And if they don't, we're not going to stop. We're going to do everything in our power to stop them.
With so much at stake, emotions are running high. One man driving by the club screams at protesters to get a job. Later in the evening, Ogden Club co-owner Robin Quigley reads a retirement card she was given by mine opponents. Inside are snide remarks like rest in peace, spelled P-I-E-C-E, and worst of luck. Danielle Kading, Wisconsin Public Radio.
And we're now joined by Danielle Kading to dig into this topic further. Danny's a reporter for Wisconsin Public Radio based in Superior. Danny, thanks for joining us.
Yeah, no problem, Kate. How are you doing this morning?
Good. So this mine is 150 feet from Wisconsin. Can you take us back in time briefly? What is the Back 40 mine?
So it's a gold, primarily gold and zinc mine. There would be other trace metals that would be mined through this project, but it's about a little less than a half a mile wide by long and about 750 feet deep. And just to kind of give you the scale of that, you could fit a 60-story building in that open pit. So that's what they're proposing near Stevenson, Michigan.
And this mine would only have an 8-year life, is that right?
Well, in the first phase, there's a potential that they would also do underground mining in a second phase of the project. But right now, they're just focusing on the open pit portion.
Your story, you know, really offered a detailed look into the community and the strained relationships that are going on. What were the challenges in putting the story together and trying to understand where people are on either side of it?
I think the number one challenge was trying to find people who support this project and having them speak with me. There was quite a bit of reluctance from anyone that I talked to who was in support of the project and speaking on tape. I was not able to get anyone to comment on the record. And part of the reason for that was a great deal of fear of the backlash that they would receive, if they were a business owner, feared potential backlash to their business if they spoke out in support of the project, or just in the behavior of people who oppose mining and how they would be treated if they were to come out publicly in favor of this project.
You also write that mine opponents are hoping to invoke the federal government's treaty responsibilities as one way to prompt further review of a wetlands permit for the Back 40 project. And among the opponents of the mine are members of the Menominee tribe. Let's hear a clip from Chairman Gary Bissau.
And we also believe that the cultural remains, the burial mounds, the raised garden beds, the dance rings, anything within that area that truly are Menominee ancestral remains or archaeological, valuable archaeological sites to us, that those would have better protection because now federal law could apply to those.
Where does the Menominee tribe stand, Danny?
Well, obviously, they oppose this project. They feel it poses a significant risk to cultural and archaeological sites that are important to the tribe and their creation story. They do not want to see this mine happen. They have made repeated requests to the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers and the EPA to step in and take away the permitting authority from the state of Michigan. They recently wrote a letter in August asking for another review and a request for consultation from those two federal agencies because they believe that there is waters or wetlands as part of this project that should not have been delegated as far as whether or not they would receive a permit from the state. They feel that the federal government should be taking priority over that, that they should be making the decision, and they've presented some case law and facts that they feel go in their favor on that.
We're talking about the proposed Back 40 mine with Danielle Kading, a reporter for Wisconsin Public Radio based in Superior. You can join in 800-642-1234. Do you think it'll be good for the region's economy? Why or why not? Join in 800-642-1234. More on the Back 40 mine after this news.
I do think that we have a lot of support. I don't think that support has been real vocal at this point, given the circumstances surrounding the project. Menominee County really could use this economic boost. We have talked to folks who say, you know, I wish our kids had jobs that they could stay in the area and raise their families. And those are the sorts of jobs that mining can provide.
That's Chantay Lessard, the spokeswoman for the Aquila Resources, the Toronto-based company that wants to mine gold, zinc, and other metals in Michigan upstream from the Menominee River. Our guest Danielle Kading stays with us. She's a reporter for Wisconsin Public Radio based in Superior, has been reporting out this story. Danielle, explain a little bit of Chantay's view on this mine and the information coming out of Aquila Resources.
Sure. Yeah. Chantay Lessard is a spokeswoman for the mining company. And so far, the mining company has invested about $80 million in this project. So in their view, they wouldn't be putting all of this money into this project if they didn't want it done right. And if they weren't confident in regulators' ability to help them achieve their goals, they feel like it'll create around $240, $250 million in the first year of the project just through construction alone. And also, as said before, that $20 million annually in state, local, and federal tax revenues, which she argues will go to improve local roads, local schools. And also, you know, it would create around 240 jobs, according to the company. So they feel like this will be a benefit to the area. It'll help stem the region's population loss, which has been declining about 3 or 4% over the last decade. So they see it as a positive thing for the four-county area.
And do we know the economic benefits, the economic impact that this mine would have on the area?
Yeah, that $20 million annually in state, local, and federal taxes is what they're projecting it would create. That was in a study that the mining company paid for out of the University of Minnesota Duluth. Again, that $240, $250 million in the first year of construction, I think they said that they would be able to make around $75 million in the first year of the project once it's up and running.
Let's go to Steve now in Montreal in Iron County. Go ahead, Steve.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm looking out my back window at a area of overburden that is full of trees, tall trees now. And the grass grows strong and thick. The Montreal River, I'm told the fishing is good in that. And all this is since about 62, when the mining up here ceased. And so did the economy. There's things that have to be looked at for. I retired up here. I'm from Indiana. And I love it up here. I don't want to mess it up, but I'd sure like to see some work come in up here. We do have to be careful about it. I know there are issues with, they call it sulfite mining tailings. We have to be careful about that. But you can't do anything up here without somebody looking over your shoulder and being sure that you're doing it correctly. And there are people living here that did it and still know how to do it.
And Danny, so what Steve is saying, too, is you walk a fine line between the jobs, the economy, and the environment.
Yeah, and obviously, you know, Steve's from Iron County, and we saw the debate that came about with the proposed more than $1 billion iron mine that Gogebic Taconite had proposed, and the company eventually backed out of that project because of the amount of wetlands and probably due to declining ore prices. But yeah, there's a lot of regulation that goes into this. One of the concerns that environmentalists have with the Back 40 project is that with a sulfide mine like this one where you're opening up gold and zinc, once you start mining those metals, it becomes exposed to the air and water. And so there's a lot of fear about acid mine drainage from this project and whether or not the mining company and regulators would be able to create the types of infrastructure and engineering needed to prevent any kind of large-scale disasters from happening as a result of, you know, making these minerals open to the air and the water.
Steve, thanks for calling in. And let's go to Mary now in Milwaukee. Go ahead, Mary.
Well, I'm going to kind of follow up on Steve, because the one thing that's never factored in is the cost of what we lose in the environment, which you can never replace, and the cost of cleanup. When these mines go away, they leave behind such, you know, such a mess, and most of them end up declaring bankruptcy, and then the taxpayers get left cleaning up the bills. So those are costs that are just never factored in.
Danny, what do we know about the longevity of the mine and where, how big it would be, and whether it would be sustained for a long time?
Well, I think right now they're talking about roughly 16 years with this proposed project would be the life of the mine. That first phase, I believe, would be the 8 years where they would do the open pit, and then another potential for 8 years of underground mining. As far as, you know, trying to plan for remediation once the mine is closed. In Wisconsin, the company has to put up bonding for all those sorts of things. They have to have financial assurance that they are going to, in fact, carry out the remediation necessary once the project is done. In Michigan, I'm not as familiar with their laws, but I imagine that they would have to do the same thing to maintain that environmental assurance.
We're talking right now with Danielle Kading. She's a Wisconsin Public Radio reporter, and she's been following and reporting on the Back 40 mine in Michigan, just across the border of to Wisconsin, where 3 out of 4 permits have been provided for this project, Back 40 project. You can join in at 800-642-1234 with your questions or concerns about this Back 40 mine project, 800-642-1234. Danny, Matt from Wausau emailed. He said, if mining brings the type of prosperity that Senator Tiffany claims it will, why don't we observe this prosperity in the small towns near the mines in Minnesota or the Upper Peninsula? Fact of the matter is they have traded the environment for short-term unsustainable profits.
Well, I think that's the argument that's typically gone on, that mines are boom and bust, that they will operate for a short period of time, and then as prices go down in the markets, then these mines are shut down, people are laid off. But, you know, in the interim, they provide high-paying jobs, which mining companies say are living wage jobs that can't be found in some of these rural areas that are seeing population declines. They're heavily reliant on timber or tourism and government jobs. And so, you know, mining companies will argue that this will provide a boon for the area. But, yeah, I mean, as we've seen over the years, mines go boom and bust. So it's an argument that continually goes on.
Going back to the Menominee tribe for a moment, do we know how they've been vocal about against this mine? Do they intend to stay that way? What do you get from the tribe as to how it will stand up to this mine?
I think that the tribe is going to exert every opportunity that's available to them to prevent the mine from happening. And I think there's a lot of collaboration, cooperation between the tribe and anti-mine protesters. I think typically we're seeing this kind of trend right now where mine opponents rely on the tribes and the obligations that the U.S. federal government has in its treaties with tribes is one way to potentially fight this or litigate it out in federal court. And so, you know, right now, as I said before, the tribe has made this request for consultation with the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers. Also the Environmental Protection Agency. Typically, the permitting authority that's been granted to the state on this project, it wouldn't be returned to the federal government unless they were unable to resolve some sort of objection that the EPA had to some condition in a permit. But the tribe is requesting further review of another rationale that relates to what waters can be delegated as far as permitting authority to the state. And they contend that certain waters related to this project shouldn't be under state authority. They should be under federal authority, and that under that federal authority, they would have more protections because of those treaties, because there would be investigations or reviews under the National Historic Preservation Act and the National Environmental Protection Act. And so the Environmental Protection Agency is reviewing the tribe's request to consult on this. U.S. Army Corps is not commenting at this point. They're directing all of the questions to the EPA, and the EPA continues to review the tribe's request and is looking at the most recent wetlands permit application that was just resubmitted to the Michigan Department of Environmental Quality.
And as we begin to wrap up here, Danny, what are the steps then as Aquila Resources tries to get its final, fourth and final permit that's necessary for this mine?
Yeah, sure. Right now, they have submitted an updated wetlands permit application. This is the fourth and final permit that would need to be reviewed. So the Michigan Department of Environmental Quality will review the application until it's considered complete. They may ask for further clarification in a correction request. But once this application is complete, they'll issue a public notice on Michigan's website. They will also hold a public hearing within 90 days once that application is considered complete. And then they'll do their own technical review and review comments. And that will be taken into account, and they have to make a decision on that permit within 120 days of it being considered complete.
Danny, thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks, Kate.
Danielle Kading is a reporter for Wisconsin Public Radio based in Superior. We've been learning about the Back 40 mine project in Michigan, its impact on the Menominee River, its impact on Wisconsin, proposed impact. 3 out of 4 permits been issued so far. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. This is the Ideas Network. The morning show is produced by Brianne Chasso and Keely Boltina. Michelle Johnson is executive producer and provided technical direction. Stay with us here on the Ideas Network.